Well, I've titled the sermon this morning, Lessons in Obedience. And we have found that Elijah has been obedient to the Lord from the very start of the introduction that we had from him when he was sent to speak to the king of Israel concerning the worship of false gods and the judgment of God. Because of that, his wife Jezebel had introduced her own gods to the people of Israel and had removed them and moved them into the temples of the living God, that they may be worshipped amongst God's people. And so God is judging the land, and he has removed Elijah for his safety to a place at first alongside a brook where God provided him food and drink morning and evening with the ravens feeding him there. And we find that he stays there until the brook dries up, and then the Lord moves him on now to Zarephath, to the very heart where Jezebel had come from. As we saw last week, it was the home of the queen where false gods were worshipped, that God now takes Elijah to hide in there. And we remarked how interesting it was that of all the places to take Elijah to hide, it was from the home place of Jezebel the queen, who had taken her gods from there and introduced them to Israel. But we reminded ourselves that the false gods have eyes that they cannot see, ears and they cannot hear, and mouths and they cannot speak. So the best place to hide Elijah is in a place where the gods can't say he's there, because they are useless. And so he hides him in the very heart of this false worship. And so we now find that he's been told to cross a desert 75 miles in a drought to go to a place where a widow would look after him. And this is where we find him in our sermon this morning. The verse in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And as Elijah sets out across a desert at a time of drought for 75 miles, he has faith in his God that what he hopes for will be certain, that there would be a widow who would care for him and would provide him as God has promised. And so he's putting his faith into practice again. Many of us wouldn't want to go to a desert at the best of times, but during the drought, when things are even more difficult, but Elijah does what the Lord told him to do. And as we read in the book of Numbers, how the Israelites, when the Lord lifted the cloud and he moved them on, they went. But when the cloud remained, they stayed. And they only did what the Lord asked them to do. And they were obedient to the timings of the Lord. So Elijah, putting his faith into practice again as one of God's people, when God says move, he moves. And although the journey was going to be difficult, it was still a journey that he was willing to take, because he was sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he couldn't see. God was there and God was directing. And if that was the case, then he would be nowhere else other than where the Lord was going to lead him. And so the first thing that we see then in our lessons in obedience is that we need to be people who are obeying God's word. When God's word speaks to us, we need to be obedient. Notice the link between verse 8 and verse 9 in this passage that we read together. In verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. There's the command of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. And in verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. The link. God says, Elijah does. Or that we would be as obedient when God says that we would then immediately take him at his word and do what he asks of us. There was a lesson that Israel had learned, as we saw in Numbers 9, that when God moved them on, they moved on. But when the cloud stayed, they stayed. And they didn't dare go outside of God's leading during that time. It's an important lesson for all of us as Christians, that we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the only path of obedience is the path that promises blessing. The path of obedience is the only one that promises God's blessing. That we are to be obediently following the Lord. There are times when we've had to sit down with people and say, how can we ask the Lord's blessing on something that is wrong? We can't. I remember having to counsel couples who would come to ask me to marry them when we were down in Pembroke. Our church was opposite a castle, and it was a lovely venue for photographs. And so they'd like to have a wedding in the church, go across and have the castle in the background. And so we were forever being asked, will you conduct our wedding service? And one of the first questions I would ask them, are you already living together as husband and wife? Oh, Yes. So you want me to ask God to bless something that's already happening without any acknowledgement that it's wrong. Let's talk about that first. And some would listen and they would talk and we would put them through the marriage course and prepare them for marriage. And others didn't want to know. They weren't interested in knowing the Lord's blessing. But as I would say, you're asking me to bless something that God says is not something that he delights in. Let's look at what he says and why he says this first. And then when we put ourselves right, then we can ask him to bless. Because God is a God who wants to forgive us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us. And so these things are there for our good and for our blessing and for our benefit. But we need to be walking obediently. That's just one example. There are many examples when we need to be obediently following the Lord before we can expect his blessings. We can't ask him to bless something that we know is wrong. We need to put ourselves in a place of obedience. And so this will explain then why there have been times when our lives have been miserable and joyless because we have deliberately gone against the Lord's commands, when we have been self-willed and determined to do it our own way, and we lose those blessings that he would want to give us, those blessings of being obediently following in his word. Even if his ways were hard and difficult, we will find greater blessing than if we took it alone, if we went our own way. I'm sure Elijah might have thought, well, crossing the desert, is there another route? Could I go a long way round? Or should I go through the desert? I wonder what I would have done. Would I have redirected my sat-nav and said, which is the alternative route that I could go? Or do I go and follow the Lord? Elijah takes the hard road, but he knows God's blessing as a result of it. And sometimes we have to go that hard road to experience the blessings that God gives. And there have been times when he's laid us low and we've had to go through illness and difficulties, but we have proved the Lord in a new way and we've found that he has been a help and a comfort and a support in a way that we would never have known him to be when we have gone through those difficulties. And when we look back, we would say, perhaps we wouldn't have chosen that route, but having experienced the Lord's help and comfort, we are so glad that he took us that way, because we've learned so much more about the God that we love and we serve. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We take up our cross, we follow him, even if it's hard and difficult. Jesus doesn't ask anything of us that he wasn't willing to do for himself. He said of himself, "I've not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." He came to do his Father's will. And that was a hard road. As we come around the table this morning, we realize again that that meant him laying down his life for us. But he chose to do that in obedience to the plan and the purpose of his Father. And so we find then that we need to be people who obey God's word. The second thing we find is that we need to be people who are obeying God's word and finding it not easy. Obeying God's word is not always easy. The path of obedience is not an easy one. Self-denial, take up your cross and follow me. Keeping an eye on the Lord daily. Putting into practice the things that he asks of us. Even when, to the natural understanding, it's the most strange and odd thing to do. Going to the brook, first of all, where the ravens were going to feed Elijah, was not an easy thing. The ravens were the unclean bird. The brook was a place of solitude, but he went. And now he's crossing the desert into the heart of false worship. And he goes. Elijah has risked his life again and again, but he has known the blessing of the Lord. And now he's going to go to a widow who has no means to support herself. And when he gets there, he finds out that she has a son to care for as well. And now he's the third person who's been going to be looking for food. It's not the easiest situation to walk into and to ask for help. But he goes in obedience to what the Lord has asked him. We need faith in God's promises. We need faith in his word to be able to say with conviction what Hebrews says. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We need to trust that God knows best. We need to trust that he has a plan and a purpose and understands the situation better than we do. And so in verse 10, Elijah sets off, and it goes on to explain what happens on his arrival. The widow is so poor, she doesn't have enough fuel at home to prepare this last meal that she's going to cook for herself and her son. So she's out gathering some sticks. She has no servant to send and fetch the things for her. She goes out and does it herself. What encouragement could Elijah have had from this outward appearance? Of all the people to send me to, you're sending me to a widow who has nothing, who has enough for one last meal for herself and her son, and she's the one who's going to look after me? I wonder what we would have done in that situation. Would it have driven us to doubt and fear and think, Lord, what on earth are you thinking? How can I ask this woman to provide for me? She has nothing to give herself and her son. So what does he do? Does he feel sorry for her and look for another widow in the town, thinking, I maybe got this wrong? This surely can't be the person that God has brought me across a desert to find. Or does he approach her and trust that God knows what he's doing? And so he asks her for some water to drink. I wonder how he felt when she replied, when he asks for her help. Please give me some water in a jar that I may have a drink. And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. He doesn't ask for a three-course meal. He doesn't ask for anything other than water. And her reply was, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. I wonder if he wished he'd never asked the question. You know, sometimes we ask for something and then we know we've asked the wrong thing. It was the wrong question to ask. I wonder how Elijah felt when that was the answer he got. I don't have any bread, just some flour, just some oil. I'm making a last meal and that's the end. How would you have felt if you were in his shoes? What hope would we would have had that we were going to be safe in the home of this woman? She has nothing to offer. Elijah was not trusting in the outward circumstances. He wasn't trusting in his own reasons. He wasn't even discouraged by what he saw. His heart trusted the word of God. And God had said, go, and I have commanded a widow to look after you and to supply you with food. And this is perhaps where we can so often go wrong. We look at the outward appearances. We look at the circumstances and we think, surely this cannot be right. God cannot be sure about this. And we start to doubt and allow doubt to take over. But Elijah replies, don't be afraid and go home and do as you've said. Don't be afraid. What would we have said? I'm sorry, I must have got it wrong. I must be looking for somebody else. Well, what on earth are you doing, God? This woman has nothing to give. But Elijah so trusts the Lord that he tells this woman not to be afraid. He had been promised by God that he would be provided for, and he believed God. All he had to go on was God's word, but it was all that he needed. When God speaks, we can be sure that what he says is true and right and good. His heart was resting on God's word, not on the means of this woman. And so the challenge for me and for us this morning is this: what is my heart resting on? My own understanding, or on what God is saying, what God is doing, and how God works? God's promise to us is that he will provide for us. We may not understand how he will do that, but we must trust that he will do that, because that is his promise. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear. What a confidence in God. What a trust. Though everything else is falling apart, he is the one in which we have put our trust, and he will not disappoint us. He will not let us go. He can give us peace when all around should give us cause to fear. And so what we find then is that outward circumstances are sometimes deceiving. The things that make us doubt shouldn't make us doubt at all, because God works behind the scenes. God is at work even when we can't see it. And so as we look at the circumstances that could cause us to doubt, the widow was gathering sticks. That's all she could have. She couldn't afford to buy the fuel. She was looking for sticks to burn a fire. Elijah had no address, didn't have the name of the widow, didn't know who was going to care for his needs. He had no means of knowing before he set out, but he trusted that God would bring him to the right person when the time came. And the right person seemed to be the last choice. He wouldn't have chosen this woman to go to her home to be looked after. But we are people who like to know everything ahead of time. We like to know where we're going, how it's going to work out, what time we're arriving, the fact that everything's going to be in place and ready for us, how long we're going to be staying, and that we've got the transport to get us back to where we started from again. We like to know everything. But Elijah has learned to trust God, and we need to learn to trust him too. And there are times when he takes us into the unknown, where we can't know everything ahead of time, and we have to trust him. And that can be hard, especially for those who like to be in control. But just see how God's timing works out. Go to the place, and I've commanded a widow to care for you there. And the two are brought together at just the right time. She's out gathering sticks to make the last meal that she's going to prepare for herself and her son, so she thinks, just at the right time when he's arriving to the town looking for a widow who's going to provide him with food. And they meet. A coincidence or God's timing? God brings the two of them together at just the right time. Someone would say it was a chance meeting, but God has directed Elijah and he has commanded this widow. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. God brings the two people together at just the right time. And there are examples of that again and again, not just in the scriptures, but in Christians' experience as well. How God has brought the right person to the right situation at the right time, so that we can be used together for his glory and for one another's good. His ways are not our ways. Whether it looks good or bad, we must trust that he knows what's best. He knows the way that it will all work out. All things work together for the good of those who trust God, who trust him. Are we trusting? Are we trusting when the outward circumstances look so poor? You see, when God works, he works at both ends. Elijah by the brook and the widow in Zarephath. And having crossed the desert, they meet at the right time in the right place that God has already thought about. How was he to know that she was the widow that God was leading him to? He must ask. And so he calls out and asks her to bring him something to drink and something to eat. And she willingly goes to fetch it. But she explains the circumstances. And so the second thing that we see about this widow is that she was making the last meal. She only had enough for one more meal. But that one more meal, she was willing to stretch for a third mouth. She explains to Elijah that's all she had. But she's willing to take him and give him what little she has. She's a remarkable woman. She goes to do what God has commanded her to do. And for me, this was a thrill as I was preparing the sermon this week. She's been commanded by God to look after Elijah. She worships a false God. She says to him that she doesn't know his God, but as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread. As surely as your God lives. It wasn't her God. But Elijah's God has commanded her to care for Elijah. And this is her first step of obedience. I wonder if we've ever been obedient to what God has asked us, and we perhaps need to take our own first step. And it wasn't a huge step. You know, perhaps we know of Christians who seem to do great and mighty things, and we think, oh, wow, if only I could be somebody like them. Where does this widow start? With a jar of water and a little bread to eat. That's all she's been asked of. And she takes that first step and she invites Elijah to come and share what little she has. It wasn't a lot, but it was everything that she had. And she was willing to take that step. God has commanded her. And her first experience of being obedient to Elijah's God is to offer him the water and to give him something to eat. And as we trust God in the little things and the first things, so he grows our faith to trust him for the next thing and the bigger things. And so he prepares us for that journey of proving him to be a God that we can trust in every and any situation. And it starts with the little things as we learn to trust him. And then we learn to trust him for the bigger and the greater as he leads us on into a deeper relationship with him. But this is the start for this woman. Elijah has been trusting God as we've seen him through the story so far. But here is a widow who is learning that Elijah's God is able to do for her what she can't do for herself. She's been commanded to look after Elijah. And she is willing to help him with her last meal. What she learns is that God is going to provide for her, not just for the last meal, but for the next one and the one that follows until the command is no longer necessary because Elijah will be taken away again. But during that time, she will prove that God can be trusted. How do I know that God can be trusted? I have to put it into practice. I have to trust him. And that can be hard for those who want to be in control of their lives and they don't want to have to trust God. But the only way to know his blessing is to trust him. She has this last meal and she shares it not only with her son, but also with Elijah. You see, the danger is that we look at to see what we don't have rather than what God wants to provide us with. She could have said, I'm sorry, I don't have enough to feed you. But she says, what little I have, you can share it with us. And as we share what God gives to us, we see that it goes around and we see that it's sufficient because he has promised to supply all that we need. We're not alone in thinking that perhaps we're in a situation that's beyond us. The word tells us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, and it's at that point when our hope runs out that then God steps in. When we realise we have nothing to give and we have to trust him, we realise that God is worthy to be trusted. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, it says, David says, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should escape to the land of the Philistines. David thought that Saul was eventually going to kill him. He got to the end of his hope, but God had a plan to keep David safe, to protect him, and to put him on the throne as he had promised. The disciples, when they were on the boat with Jesus, believed that they were going to drown. And they wake him up and says, don't you care that we're going to drown? But Jesus knew that they were going to be back safe on the shore as he calms the winds and the storms. The widow's eyes were on the little that she had, enough for one last meal. And then her hope was gone. Then we will die. But God knows that that's not the end. There is a future as we trust him. And so with the little that we have, even though it doesn't seem to be enough, we will find that God is able to meet all our needs and provide us. When the disciples were sent to look for food to feed the 5,000, they came to Jesus with the boy with his 5 loaves and his 2 fish, and they said, but how far will these go among so many? They found this, but it's not enough. And Jesus showed them it was more than enough as they collect 12 baskets left over. And so as we trust God with the little that we have, we will see his blessing. But it's the step of obedience, the lesson of learning to be obedient as we trust God to provide as he has promised. Elijah wasn't put off by her reply. He told her not to fear and to trust God. Why? Because he had proved God faithful and he knew that God could be trusted. So as we encourage others to trust him, the best way to encourage others is to show how we are already trusting him. And we can only do that if we are trusting him. And so the challenge is, am I trusting him in everything? Or just in areas that I feel I can trust him? Do I trust him completely? And so we must prove ourselves to be willing workers, to show that we are trusting him, willing to go where he sends us, willing to trust him when it's hard, willing to be the one that will provide for others when we wonder whether we've got enough to provide for ourselves. Are we willing to share what God has given to us so that he may add to that and bless others, even through the little that we may have? As we look at this widow, we find someone who lives in a land where false gods are worshipped, and yet she's been commanded to take care of a prophet of the true and the living God. And she takes that step of obedience to do what this living God has asked of her. There's a simple step of obedience and trust that opens up a whole new world for her. And it was a great blessing for her, for her son, for Elijah, and then for the rest of Israel when Elijah comes back to restore order to the land again. It wasn't a huge thing that she was asked to do, but it was the circumstances that she found herself in that made it huge. It was just water and bread, but she did what she could. I wonder what the Lord would ask of us. It may not be a great thing, but it's in those little things that we show our obedience to him. Even when we might think, if I do this, I'm going to be in need, I'm going to be short, I'm going to be struggling. It's then that God proves to us that he knows what our needs are, and he will supply those needs too. What can we learn from an example? Are we willing to do what our God asks of us? Are we willing to trust him with what he's entrusted to us? When he commands, do we listen? The Lord said, I have commanded her to care for you. And she obeyed that command. What are the commands that God has asked us to follow that we need to follow through on? She was going to go ahead with that meal. It was the last meal, but she didn't give up. She was going to fetch wood so that she could prepare a meal. She knew she had nothing left after that, but she didn't say, well, what's the point of making that last meal? Once we've eaten it, there's nothing left. But she was still going to go ahead with doing what she could do while she had the opportunity to do it. Never give in to despair. It doesn't accomplish any good at all. Trust the Lord, even when it looks hopeless, because the Lord knows what comes after, where we don't. She was about to learn that God turns hopeless situations into opportunities. An opportunity to trust him, an opportunity to prove him to be faithful, an opportunity to know his blessing firsthand. Don't rob yourself of knowing God's blessings by doubting him. Put yourself in a place where God can prove himself to be the God who will provide by trusting him. She had to have a willing heart to trust him. Are we willing servants of Jesus too? How willing are we to trust him today for the situation that he's put us in? How willing are we to trust him to provide for our needs? May the Lord then help us in these lessons in obedience to trust him and to prove him to be the God who will provide not only for us, but those that he brings into our day-to-day lives as well, that we may be able to serve one another and together rejoice that God has promised and his promises are true to provide for his people. May the Lord then encourage us through this example of this widow who was commanded by a God she didn't know and she trusted him. If we don't know God, he can be trusted today too. Ask those who do know him and they will encourage you to put your trust in him as well. May God bless his word to us this morning. Amen. As we come then to prepare our hearts to come around the table, we're going to sing together, Who Has Held the Oceans in His